Welcome to Bible Talk, where truth is taught and questions are answered. Bible Talk is brought to you by the South End Church of Christ. We meet at 4001 Taylor Boulevard. You are invited to participate in the program by calling 571-1240. That is 571-1240. And now, your host, Aaron Earhart.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Bible Talk, where truth is taught and questions are answered. Bible Talk is brought to you by the South End Church of Christ. We meet at 4001 Taylor Boulevard. Our building sits right on the corner of Taylor Boulevard and Ashland Avenue and borders the Watterson Expressway at Exit 9. That means no matter where you are in the Kentuckiana area, you are just minutes from our church building. You can visit us on the web at southendchurchofchrist.com. I am Aaron Earhart, and joining me on the program today is my good friend and fellow evangelist, Don Wright. Don works with the West End Church of Christ. They meet at 4401 West Broadway. Don, great to have you on the program.
Good to be with you. Look forward to it.
As always, we invite your participation on Bible Talk. If you have a question or comment, the lines are open. The number is 571-1240. That is 571-1240. And remember, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, the West End Church of Christ has a program immediately following ours. It is called More Bible Talk. So make sure you tune in now for this entire hour. Don, we often say that you can submit questions to the Bible Talk radio program 24/7 by going to our website, southendchurchofchrist.com. If you click on the Bible Talk link, it will take you to a page where you can submit questions, and we promise to answer those questions on the air just as soon as we can. Well, we have two email questions today. The first is, if I came to one of your Wednesday night Bible study classes as a female, would I be allowed to ask questions, or would I have to sit silently and listen? If you come to one of our Bible studies, you can most certainly ask questions. So long as we don't violate the principle set forth in 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12, women are certainly allowed to ask questions in the Bible class setting. I'm hoping this is a sincere question. I hope it's a question from someone who is interested in knowing the truth, and we certainly invite you to come and visit. You can ask questions during Bible class. If you wanted to meet afterwards, we could discuss the scriptures there as well. And on this second email is an email that I would consider to be private correspondence. But for whatever reason, I cannot respond to this person via email. Every time I send him a response, it comes back. And so I want to read just a portion of this email and then comment. As I said, normally this would be considered private correspondence and I wouldn't even respond on the air. And there are certainly things in this email that I will not mention. But I do want to read just a portion of it. The email is entitled Grateful. He says, I want you and Don to know I listen to Bible Talk every day on my way home from work. I never miss a broadcast. I plan to come to your Sunday worship service soon, and I would like the opportunity to sit down and talk to you and ask you some questions. I am glad that Don and you have expanded the show to 1 hour on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and hope you can do more evening shows in the future. I truly enjoy hearing the truth defended in such a clear and understandable way. The points that are made, backed up by chapter and verse, are so obvious and logical that I'm amazed, as well as saddened and frustrated, that people just don't get it. Keep up the good work. I want this emailer to know how much this means to us. We are thankful for your support. We appreciate your encouraging words. And I hope you will come to visit us on Sunday. You and everybody else listening are our honored guests. Again, I wouldn't read this typically on the air, but I can't communicate with him privately for whatever reason. So I want him to know we got the email, we appreciate your support, and we hope that you will indeed come to visit.
That's absolutely right. We're always encouraged by those kind of that kind of supportive message, and we thank you for that, and appreciate others who have given us some of the same sentiments. We appreciate that very much, and we're gonna go in a different direction in just a minute to Aaron, but to just have a thought on the idea of women speaking in Bible class. You know, that just goes to show you, a lot of people get the wrong impression that somehow we're holding women back and they're kind of oppressed in local churches of Christ, and that's not the case at all. The women are welcome to speak in Bible class and often make outstanding comments and really add to the class. Remember, we've made the point that in 1 Corinthians 14, the idea of keeping silent in the church fundamentally has to do with not addressing the assembly, not taking the role of the lead, rather, the lead role in the assembly. And that's what we've been talking about several times in the last week or so.
Don, yesterday we got a call about the old law, and we decided that today we would discuss the differences between the old law and the new law, and the fact that we're no longer under the old law today. It seems like any time this discussion comes up, people immediately go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. So let's begin there. And by the way, the lines are open. The number is 571-1240. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is delivering perhaps the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And beginning in verse 17, he gives what I consider to be a disclaimer of sorts. Lest his audience get the wrong impression, Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." Now let's break this down quickly. Jesus said, "I have not come to destroy the law or the prophets." The word destroy means to throw down or to tear down. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm not at odds with Moses and his law. I have not come to throw down that law or to tear down that law. Rather, Jesus said, I am come to fulfill them. Notice Jesus speaks there of the law or the prophets. That's an idiom for the entirety of the Old Testament. This would encompass Genesis through Malachi. Jesus says, I have not come to destroy that. I've come to fulfill that. The word fulfill means to complete or to accomplish. So Jesus is saying, I've not come to destroy it, I'm its fulfillment. I've come to complete it. And by the way, on the cross, Jesus announced that he had done just that when he declared, it is finished. By completing the old law, Jesus ended that law and replaced it with a new and better covenant. There in verse 18, Jesus said that not an iota, not a dot would pass from the law till all is accomplished. What is he saying there? He's saying that even the most minute details of the law would be fulfilled. Not even the smallest stroke would be overlooked. Don, in this, he's showing his utmost respect for the law of Moses. Jesus lived the law perfectly. He often quoted the law to settle issues. But Jesus is saying, listen, I haven't come to destroy it, I've come to fulfill it. That is, to complete it. Jesus did just that. And in so doing, that law was ended and replaced with a new and better covenant. Hello, you're on Bible Talk. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hello. I'm calling in and the reason why I'm calling is because 2 days ago you misrepresented my statement. You said that I said that I couldn't answer your question whether a person should keep silent or not. And what I actually said, I said I'm not going to answer your question the way you wanted to because it's a trick question. And I went on to tell you I'm going to answer it the way the scriptures say, and I answered it the way the scriptures were talking about how Paul was ministering and the women were on one side and the men were on the other side, and they were hollering across the room to their husbands. And Paul said, in a scripture previous to that, he said, God is not the author of confusion. And he went on to tell them that if you have questions, ask your husbands at home. See, that was new to the Corinthians then, and they hollered across out of custom. They could only ask their husband. They hollered across
to
their husband.
All right. 571-1240 is the number.
Okay. Hey, the other question?
Hurry it up.
Okay, right quick. That gentleman that called in, he also misrepresented me.
All right. You're obviously feeling abused.
Okay, well, can I say this right quick, and then
no.
I'll be through.
No, you can't. Thank you. You know, I don't like to cut people off. In fact, we often invite your participation on the program. You can challenge what we believe. But this particular caller, I mean, we've gone round and round. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul is regulating the spiritual gifts in the assembly. He specifically says that women are to remain silent. That comes from a Greek word that means absolutely silent, not to utter a word. Now, you don't believe that? You think that women can speak in the assembly? And so you're arguing, well, you know, this was just a situation where Paul didn't want them asking their husband's questions in the assembly. Well, that may have been part of it. Maybe they were disrupting the assembly by asking questions. But the context deals, I believe, more specifically, with them actually trying to address the assembly. And Paul says, under no circumstances can you do it. If you feel like you were misrepresented, I'm sorry. You're the one who said they were teaching without speaking. Pray tell how that can be. But listen, you're one of these callers that I don't believe are sincere. You're tying up airtime. And so I think you've said enough.
You know, first of all, there's absolutely no way on earth you can know that the men were sitting on one side and the women were sitting on the other. You said that repeatedly the other day, whenever it was, and now you said it again today, and you couldn't prove that if your life depended on it. But the point of it is, we have acknowledged that there was some chaos and confusion caused by the women there, but that still doesn't deal with Paul's solution. You're telling us why Paul said what he said. We're telling you what the Bible meant when Paul said that. I mean, his words are obviously, there's no real interpretation involved. Let the women keep silence in the church. Now, again, we'll acknowledge that they were causing some confusion, but his apostolic response was, let the women keep silence in the church. And that's what women are to do. And again, Aaron just pointed out very well, I think, that's dealing with the ideal of addressing the assembly. We know that because the idea of keeping silence happens three times in this context. It's not just with the women. The prophets were to keep silent. And what did Paul mean by that? Obviously, he meant that they had to stop prophesying publicly, addressing the assembly. That's what he was telling them not to do, or regulating how they did it. The same thing with the tongue speakers. When they were told to keep silent, what did he mean? Stop addressing the assembly, do it one at a time, and so on. So we know that's what it means. Why is not really the point. We understand Paul's apostolic command not to do it.
Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, man.
Let's talk about the Old Testament. People have to understand that back when Jesus was on earth, his disciples and Paul and everybody for the next several years, that's what they had to go by was the Old Testament. It's what they got their teaching from and learning from. And I feel like today the Old Testament is also something we can still use today, but it's not a place for our sins are forgiven. That's through Jesus, and that's where he came in to fulfill the new law. So, but I do think that the Old Testament is very valuable, and I'm sure you guys do too. But what I'm going to do the next few days, I'm going to kind of study some passages to show you where, example, musical instruments can be okay.
All right. Okay. Thanks for the warning. The lines are open. The number is 571-1240. Listen, let's understand something. Jesus lived under the old law, Galatians 4, verse 4. But when Jesus died on the cross, he had fulfilled the old law, just as he said he would in Matthew 5. In so doing, that law was ended and replaced with a new and better covenant. Hopefully you know Colossians 2, verse 14. Speaking of the old law, Paul said it has been taken out of the way, set aside, nailed to the cross. We could go down the list. In Romans 10, verse 4, Paul said the law was ended. In Galatians 3, verse 25, Paul said we're not under that law. Ephesians 2, verse 15 says it's been abolished. Hebrews 8, verse 13 says it's obsolete. Listen, the old law is still beneficial. God preserved it for our learning. Romans 15:4, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Don and I frequently mention the Old Testament here on Bible Talk and in our Bible classes and sermons. But we must understand our authority. Our authority does not come from the old law. Our authority comes from the new law.
That's right. And you know, I've often pointed out, whether you realize it or not, you don't want to be under the old law. The old law was a law that demanded perfection. It made no provision for sin, at least not in an absolute sense. The requirement of the old law was perfection. Remember in Romans chapter 8 and at verse 4, Paul said that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is, those of us who obeyed the gospel of Christ were added to the body of Christ, and we fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law. What was that? Perfection. In Christ, when we obey the gospel, our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ, which we contact in the waters of baptism, by the way. And once that happens, we stand before God as if we have not sinned. We meet the righteous requirement of the law. Now, if you want to go back to the old law and live under a law that demands perfection, then have at it. Most people don't want to do that. What's ironic to me, Aaron, is that a lot of the people, our faith-only friends, who cry the loudest that there's nothing we have to do to be saved, we're saved by pure mental assent alone, just by faith, they're the ones that often go back to the old law to justify something like musical instruments. Isn't that ironic?
Yeah, let me just add one more passage to the mix here. Hebrews 7, verse 12 says, "The law has been changed." I wish these people would go back and read passages like that. The law has been changed. We are not under the old law today. As Don said, you don't want to be under that law. We're under the new law. Hello, you're on Bible Talk. Go ahead, you're on the air.
I'm not trying to be a troublemaker to you guys, but I'm amazed that you guys say that I'm not sincere when I'm quoting what the scriptures say. And
you're quoting
what you assume. I specifically quoted what the scripture said, and you all went on to say that you assumed this apostolic authority would. You can't. That's what you guys do a lot of times. You twist the scriptures. I love you guys, and I believe you're saved guys, but you misguided because you're actually following doctrine just like everybody else and don't realize it.
All right.
And I don't hate
all
you
right.
guys. I'm not trying to be mean
well,
to you guys.
Don't hate us. We don't hate you either. Jay, that's enough. But, thanks for calling. 571-1240. Don't call back again today. Here's the thing. If you're a regular listener to this program, we invite investigation. A lot of folks call up and they challenge us, and that's fine. Truth does not fear investigation. It welcomes it. But from time to time, there are certain people who just want to nag and nitpick. You can explain the truth to them over and over and over again, and they're not going to accept it. And so again, thank you for calling. Don't call back today. Again, the lines are open. The number is 571-1240. 571-1240.
All right. Again, this idea of being under the new covenant. Listen, this is very important. We said, I think, on yesterday's program, whenever it first came up, how important it is to rightly divide the Word of God. Now, this is important to the salvation of our souls. There's no way we can understand God's will and accomplish His will and do His will if we can't rightly divide the Word of God, a very important part of which is knowing what law we're under. Can you imagine, from a physical standpoint, not knowing the law? What if you were driving around and didn't know the speed limit? You would get tickets left and right. It's very important, wherever you live, to know the laws of the land, certainly. Well, spiritually, when it comes down to the salvation of our soul, we need to know what law we're under. And the Bible clearly, unequivocally affirms that we're under the law of Christ. We're in this dispensation of Christ, so we can't go back to the law of Moses and that dispensation and try to find authority for practices today. We just can't do that. This is really, some of this, Aaron, is really common sense, just understanding what law we're under. But it's hugely important. There's a lot of people who miss this, and so they practice things like musical instruments, keeping the Sabbath, tithing, so on and so forth. All things that they grab from the old law and try to bring it over to the new.
Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
I'm calling about the last call. A lot of things we don't, I don't like, but you're going to have to accept. Wait a minute, let me turn this radio down. I had an operation. I'm going to get to the point. I had an operation on this jaw one time. Had a tumor in there, and the doctor told me it's going to be a little full. And I don't like it. But it ain't so deformed where some people will say something about it. But I have to learn to accept it. I used to didn't want to accept it. But I have to accept it. I'm still alive, got all my faculties and everything else, except for this little fool, one of the jaw fool, because of the operation. But that guy who called, it hits him because he knows the truth. When something is the truth, it's going to hit you and cause confrontation because he knows he's doing wrong. Because I was knowing I was doing wrong. I used to do the same thing he's doing till I came to the truth and got baptized with the truth. He knows the truth, but he wants to argue, wants y'all to try to change it. Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 571-1240 is the number. 571-1240. If you tuned in late, Don and I are talking about the difference between the old law and the new law and the fact that we're under the new law today. Many people go to Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus there on the Sermon on the Mount said, I've not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy them, but to fulfill them. And they misunderstand what Jesus is saying here. Jesus had not come to destroy that law, that is, to throw down or to tear down that law. Rather, he was its fulfillment. The word fulfill means to complete or to accomplish. And that's what Jesus did. He was the fulfillment of that law. He was the one to whom it pointed. And he satisfied its demands for justice. When Jesus was hanging on the cross and declared, "It is finished," he had fulfilled the law. It has now been replaced with a new or better covenant. Consider the very terminology. We speak of the law of Moses. We also speak of the law of Christ. Just the terminology alone shows you these are two different laws. The Bible refers to the law of Moses, and it refers to the law of Christ. We are under the law of Christ today. Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
Good afternoon, Aaron.
Hey, man.
I'm calling concerning the validity of the Old Testament and the New Testament. We have to be aware that when you see certain prophets, including Jesus, speaks of the Old Testament quite a bit, and they use it as reference. Now, I don't know your source of doctrine, but I've always been taught since a child, and actually I did research and asked some of my elders who are PhDs in theology and so forth. I have been blessed to have these type of people in my life. They explained to me the law that you're speaking of. Is the law is actually only laid down in the first five books, which are the book of the Mosaic Law, which is Moses' law. Now, we have to understand that the commandments as well were included in Exodus and then on through Leviticus and Deuteronomy.
Can I take issue with that? I don't care if they have PhDs or not. Jesus said that the Psalms were part of the law. Those weren't the first five books of the Bible.
Remember this. David was reiterating and talking about certain rituals concerning the Jewish law. But the law was actually laid down that David was following the first five books of the Mosaic. Moses actually wrote the laws, okay? You have to get an understanding when the law was written.
Yes, now, but that law has been taken out of the way, right?
You have to understand now, the commandments were also included in the first five books.
All right. Thank you for calling. The lines are open. The number is 571-1240. Listen, no doubt the first five books form the law, but Jesus and others use this term to incorporate the entirety of the Old Testament. Jesus, in John chapter 10, verse 34, and in John 15, verse 25, referred to the Psalms as the law. Go back and look at those passages. So your very premise is proven false. To say the law is only the first five books, well, wait a minute. Jesus said that the Psalms were part of that law. You have to understand that all of the Old Testament is not authoritative today. We're under the law of Christ. We're under the New Testament. Now, that's not to say that the Old is not important. It is important. It's been preserved for our learning. Romans 15:4, 1 Corinthians 10:11. We can and should reference the old law. We should learn from the old law. But understand, when it comes down to establishing authority, our authority must come from the new law. Paul said in Romans 7 that to be under both laws at the same time would be spiritual adultery. That's what Paul said. If you try to keep the new law and the old law at the same time, you are committing spiritual adultery. I'd say those elders with their PhDs need to go back and study some more.
That's right. It's irrelevant to this discussion when the law was given. That's a different discussion. We understand the first five books of the Bible and when Moses gave the people the law and all of that, when he received, that doesn't matter. The point is, from the rest of that time, as the Israelites moved on into their land and they became a nation, what law were they under? And all through the Old Testament scriptures then, from that point forward, remember there was the patriarch law before the law of Moses, but from that point forward, what law were the Jews under in the Old Testament? What was binding? And that's this discussion. What's binding today? What was binding for them? What was binding to Daniel? What was binding to David? All of the people and the characters of the Old Testament, what was binding to them? It was the law of Moses that, yes, was given and the first five books, but it was binding until Jesus fulfilled it, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and his new covenant became into force. Now listen, you don't need a PhD or be a scholarly individual or be a theologian to understand that. And if the theologian or PhD fella doesn't understand that, he probably wasted a whole lot of money and time getting that PhD.
Hello, you're on Bible Talk.
Hi, I wanted to make a comment in regards to the old law and the new law. From what I understand, if we're under the old, for those who were under the old law, there's no way that they could have been saved. Like, all of their sins were remembered. They offered sacrifices all the time, and their sins were always remembered. So with us being under the new law, and we should be happy that we are under the new law, God said that he'll forgive those sins and he'll wash them away. So for those who want to stay under the old law, it's like they're condemning themselves.
Great point. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an excellent point. You know, the old law, the sacrifices of the old law, could not forgive sins in an absolute sense. The Hebrews writer makes that abundantly clear. And so, and here's really what you've got. Most of our listeners probably agree completely with that. See, they don't want to accept the sacrifices of the old law anymore. You can nail that to the cross. But it's other things attributed with that law they want to keep. The Bible says if you keep part of it, you're obligated to keep it all. We're saying this comes down to rightly dividing the Word of God. We're not under the old, we're under the new. And how people miss this is beyond me. I mean, again, listen, Jesus said it was fulfilled. Romans 10:4 says it's ended. Galatians 3:25 says we're not under it. Ephesians 2:15 says it's abolished. Colossians 2:14 says it's been set aside. Hebrews 8:13 says it's obsolete. In Romans 7, Paul said to keep the old and new at the same time is spiritual adultery. The Hebrews writer in Hebrews 7, verse 12 says the law has been changed. I mean, how much clearer could they have made it? If you can't even discern between the two laws, we're in a world of trouble. We are under the new law today. The law of Christ.
That's right. And listen, that's not putting down the law in any form or fashion. Paul in Romans chapter 7 said that the law was just and holy and good. The law came from God, and it accomplished exactly what he wanted it to. It was simply a schoolmaster to bring, or a tutor to bring individuals to Christ. It did what God wanted it to do. But listen to what Paul says about that law in Galatians chapter 3. And at verse 10, he says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That is classic Pauline language that he uses with reference to the law. He's simply saying, if you're under that law, the law of Moses, you have to live perfectly in order to be saved. That's why he goes on, since we're all sinners, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. At verse 11 he says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And that's why we said earlier, you don't want to be under that law. Why are you trying to hold on to that? And you say, well, I think I want to take some of that and just couple that with the law of Christ. No, Aaron's already rightly pointed out, that would be spiritual adultery. That's what Paul teaches in Romans chapter 7. We often say in driving, you have to pick a lane. And you're going to have to decide, do you want to be under the law of Moses, or do you want to be under the law of Christ, which is a better covenant with better promises, has a better hope. You're going to have to decide what law you want to be under. And the fact of the matter is, if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to obey the new law, which is the gospel of Christ.
Let me say one final time, this comes down to rightly dividing the word of God. If you can't even discern between the law of Moses and the law of Christ, we're in big trouble. This is fundamental. This is essential. Jesus did not come to destroy the law. He came to be its fulfillment, its completion. When he completed the law, he ended the law and replaced it with a new and better covenant. Again, let me run down these scriptures one final time. It has been ended, Romans 10:4. It has been abolished, Ephesians 2:15. It has been set aside, Colossians 2:14. It has been nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. It is obsolete, Hebrews 8:13. It has been changed, Hebrews 7:12. We hope you've enjoyed this program. We hope that now you have a better understanding. Should we study the Old Testament? Can we learn from the Old Testament? Yes. But it's not our authority today, and we ought to be thankful for that. Our authority must come from the new law, the law of Christ. Hey, visit our website, southendchurchofchrist.com. Don't go anywhere. We are happy to announce that the West End Church of Christ has a very similar program. It's called More Bible Talk, and it's up right now.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, a work of the South End Church of Christ. The South End Church of Christ meets at 4001 Taylor Boulevard in Louisville, Kentucky. Visit us on the World Wide Web at southendchurchofchrist.com. And be sure to tune in each weekday at 2 p.m. for More Bible Talk.
Welcome to More Bible Talk. More of your Bible questions. More Bible-based answers. More of the Bread of Life. More Bible Talk is brought to you by the West End Church of Christ. We meet at 4401 West Broadway. And now your host, Don Wright.
Hello, and welcome to More Bible Talk, where more truth is taught and more of your questions are answered. More Bible Talk is brought to you by the West End Church of Christ. We're located at 4401 West Broadway. That is on the corner of 44th and Broadway and on the west side of town, right across from the Yearling Club. If you're familiar with that, that's where we're located. We have services every Lord's Day at 10 o'clock for Bible study. We also have worship service at 11 o'clock, 5 o'clock for worship services. Why not come out and be with us? We would love for you to come and visit the West End Church of Christ. We would consider you an honored guest if you'd come out and be with us. We worship God in spirit and in truth and do things only that are authorized by the Bible. I think you'd appreciate it if you would come out and be with us. Joining me on the program today is my good friend and brother in Christ, Aaron Earhart. Of course, most of you know him. He's the outstanding host of Bible Talk. And Aaron, we appreciate you staying with us.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
This is, of course, a live program. And you can ask your questions and we'll answer them on the air. And the number that you need to call is 571-1240. We appreciate all the calls. We appreciate you listening. Now, we already have a call, so we want to get right to it. Hello, you're on More Bible Talk. Will you
speak
up, please?
Hello, I have a question.
Yes.
In David's prayer of repentance in Psalm 51, verse 1 and 2, he used transgression. He used, he said, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Now, question number one is, what type of sin is an iniquity? And why did he use all three, like transgression, iniquity, and sin, versus just asking God to forgive him of his sins or cleanse him of his sins, which seemingly would take care of the transgressions and the iniquities.
Yes. Appreciate that. Good call. Appreciate it. Good question. And basically, that's a situation that you often find in the Bible where they are really just different ways of describing sin, whether it's, you know, sin sometimes is called sin, sometimes iniquity, sometimes transgression. But they're just different ways. It's really just for emphasis. That's it. And so there's a few different things in the Bible where Paul or other writers will refer to the same thing but use different terms, but it's all the same. Your iniquities are forgiven the same way your transgressions are forgiven, the same way that your transgressions are forgiven, you know, and so on and so forth. And so it's all referring to sin. Now, when you think about different terms, for example, like transgression, when you think of a transgression, that sort of gives you the indication of someone going in the wrong direction. You can either go beyond the Word of God or go aside from the Word of God. And so it's just different terms will give you the idea of, you know, trespass is another one, that sort of thing. A lot of these terms deal with things like missing the mark, gives you that kind of picture. But there's no real significance of David using the different terms. It's just a point of emphasis.
Yeah, you know, to give you an example of that in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives the model prayer, and he says, "Forgive us our debts." Well, in Luke's account of the model prayer, in Luke 11, verse 4, he says, "Forgive us our sins." So he uses two different Greek words, debts and sins, but obviously they refer to the same thing. Later on in Matthew 6, verse 14, Jesus speaks of trespasses, which is another way of referring to our sins, our shortcomings. In Matthew 7, verse 23, he speaks of lawlessness. In Matthew 5, verse 29, he speaks of causing one to stumble. So what you have are different Greek words that may emphasize different parts, but really referring to the same idea. You're sinning against God.
Exactly right. And again, all of those things, your sins, your iniquities, your transgressions, your trespasses, they all are, in this dispensation, covered the same way, and that is through obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you repent of your sins and you're baptized, you come to contact with the blood of Christ, they're washed away. If you are a child of God and you transgress, then according to Acts 8 at verse 22, you must repent and ask God for forgiveness. Of course, John says he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Hello, you're on More Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
Yes, I'm speaking in reference to the last half hour of your program. Again, back to the law. Now, in the book of Leviticus, it speaks about, let's take this for example, it speaks about man with man and woman with woman, homosexuality, which is, according to the law, Leviticus, an abomination to God. Now, this particular law was brought forward to the New Testament, so that shows that the law is still followed in some context in the New Testament as well as the Old.
Let me ask you a question. Do you realize that the law has changed?
Yes, but in Romans, it also speaks of that same law of homosexuality being an abomination to God. Okay? Now, this is a law from Leviticus.
All right.
Brought forward to Romans. Now, you said the law was abolished. So this is where I have come to the conclusion that we need to study the Bible a little more in detail, and I really do believe that your doctrine needs more study as well.
Okay. Well, let's comment on that. Here's where you're missing a very obvious point. Just because two laws mention the same thing doesn't make them the same law. There's laws that we have in the United States that are exactly like laws in other parts of the world, other countries. It doesn't make our two laws the same. The fact of the matter is there are some aspects of the law of Moses that have been repeated by Christ. Doesn't make that the same law. You said just on the air, when I asked you the question, has the law changed? Your answer is yes. That settles it. The law has changed. We're under a different law. Yes, Christ renewed or repeated, I should say, some of the old law. But when Paul uttered the homosexuality, condemned homosexuality in Romans 1, that wasn't the law of Moses. That was an inspired apostle adding that, setting that forth as the law of Christ. And so just because certain things have been repeated in the New Testament doesn't mean that they're the same law. You have to understand we're under a different law, a better law with better promises.
We're the ones who are studying the Bible in detail. We're the ones who are breaking it down. Listen, fulfilled, ended, not under, abolished, set aside, nailed to the cross, obsolete, changed. I mean, that's a pretty thorough list. And again, I ask, how much clearer could they have said it? I'll give you another passage. The old law foretold of its own conclusion. In Jeremiah chapter 31, listen to verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers. Now let's look at some wording here. Notice he said, I will make a new covenant. That's in contrast to what became the old covenant. He said it will not be like the former covenant. Again, so even the old law foretold of its own conclusion. It spoke of a new law to come that would be different, not like the first. So you're the one who needs to go back. These passages speak for themselves. Look at Romans 7, those first 6 or 7 verses. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying that if you try to keep the old and the new at the same time, you are a spiritual adulterer. That's what Paul said. Yes, all of the Bible is inspired. We can learn from every book of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. But friend, you better come to this simple understanding. Our authority today is the new law, the law of Christ.
Yeah, and let's drive that point home, that we believe in every book, every chapter, every verse in the Bible that includes all the entirety of the Old Testament. But the law has changed. We're not under that Old Testament law. You are finding yourself in a position of defending something God doesn't want you to defend. You're defending a law that God himself said was temporary in nature. If we were under the same law, then why couldn't Christ be a priest? The law had to change. Aaron quoted that in the last program in Hebrews chapter 7. Why? Because under the old law, you had to be from the tribe of Levi in order to be a priest. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. And so, of course, he's our great high priest. The law, not only did the law change, it had to change in order for Jesus Christ to be our high priest. Don't forget Ephesians 2 and at verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. That is dealing specifically with the Ten Commandments. Those commandments have been abolished. And the only ones that we go by now are the ones that were repeated in the New Testament. If you think that the Ten Commandments were just carried over to the New Covenant, you better be keeping the Sabbath. I doubt that you do that, do you? And so that's because we're not under that law. Hello, you're on More Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
Yes. You brothers are doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
I have a question in regard to the last caller. Just like you said, we're no longer under the Sabbath. Well, under the old law, was not homosexuality a capital offense?
Yeah, good point.
And if so, I mean, are we abide by that today?
That's right. Great point. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
And you know, that's true with a lot of the law of Moses. That's an excellent point. Because with the law of Moses, you know, there's a lot of people that want to bring certain parts of it, but not the penalty over. So we're left with a toothless law, really. A law that doesn't have any penalty for violating it. That's exactly right. You know, that's just good thinking, clear thinking, common sense. But we're not under that law. It's not a disrespect to God. It's not a disrespect for the Old Testament. It's disrespecting God when you try to bring forth a law that he doesn't want brought forth. He had a plan. That plan was fulfilled, and now we're under the law of his son, Jesus Christ. Hello, you're on More Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, he wouldn't want to be up in the old law, because if you sin just once, you get stoned to death. Thank goodness for Jesus Christ came, for we all can be saved. And that guy, I hate to talk about that last caller, he listened to too many educated people, and they can mislead him. I was for a person with eighth grade education to teach me the truth so I can have opportunity to be saved, then listen to a person educated, don't even know nothing about the scriptures, and lead him the wrong way to damnation, to hell. It's dangerous.
Cutting in and out.
It's in dangerous hands.
All right, I appreciate it very much. And listen, you know, secular education, it doesn't even play a part in that. You know, earlier in the last program, I'm not quite sure what the point is of bringing up others that are theologians and PhDs and things of that nature. Listen, on this program, we don't overemphasize that stuff. In fact, we don't emphasize it at all, nor do we devalue it. Nothing wrong with someone having a PhD or having some kind of degree. That's great. Wonderful. But when it comes down to knowing God's will, anyone can go to the Bible, study it, search the scriptures for yourself, and come to a sound conclusion. And that's why you have common folk like me and Aaron who are rightly dividing the Word of God, but you have PhDs and so-called theologians who don't even realize the law has changed and we're under a different law.
You know, and we've kind of touched on this, even the callers have in bits and pieces, that you can't keep the law consistently. Nobody listening today can keep the law consistently. At your best, you're still utterly inconsistent. And, you know, I want to make a point. We've referenced in passing a couple of different times Galatians 3, down at verse 25. I think most people understand that he's contrasting the old law, which he calls our guardian or schoolmaster, with the faith. That is, the body of truth contained in the New Testament. Well, listen to Galatians 3, verse 25. You have to try to miss this. Galatians 3, verse 25. But now that the faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. Now you think about that. He said that the old law was our guardian, our schoolmaster. Well, he says when the faith came, that is the body of truth contained in the New Testament, we are no longer under a guardian. That one passage should end the discussion.
That's right. And we could go through, you know, the book of Galatians is a great book to deal with this. We can go through all kind of passages where Paul indicates that under that old law, you are under bondage, he told him. In Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Free from what? Free from that old law that demanded absolute perfection. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What is that referring to? That old law. And so, listen, everyone should be excited to hear this news, that we're under the law of Christ, that, listen, the law of Christ demands that we do everything we can to live sinlessly. The law of Christ is not a lax law that says live the way you want to. No, the law of Christ demands that we obey God. But when we sin and fall short, we have an advocate with the Father. We have a way to get back right with God. That's something the old law didn't have. And that's why we've been saying on this discussion that you don't really want to be under that law. You'll end up entangled. You'll end up in bondage. You'll end up lost. Hello, you're on More Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
Yeah. I've noticed that one of the callers kept mentioning about doctrine. He don't realize that we're under the doctrine of Jesus Christ, not the doctrine of man.
That's right.
Yeah.
Very good. Appreciate that very much. And doctrine just means teaching. A lot of modern translations use the word teaching instead of doctrine. That's all it is. We're under the teaching of Christ. And we have that found in the New Testament. We're not just putting down the Old Testament at all. As we've said repeatedly, we study from it all the time. I know Aaron was. I don't know if he concluded your study on Exodus, but he's going through that in the Old Testament at the Good South End Church of Christ. And so, listen, don't get the wrong idea. We totally believe in the Old Testament, but we're talking about what law we're under. This is important, because we must abide in the doctrine or teaching of Christ. And if you try to bring things over from the old law and justify what you're doing today by the old law, you're going to end up sinning. You're going to end up violating the law of Christ, because while there's a few similarities, they're very much different in their makeup. And so you need to understand what law you are under. Hello, you're on More Bible Talk. Please pick up.
Yes, my name is James Bennett, and I've been listening to you guys for a long time.
Yes.
And I hear what you're saying about the old law and the new law, but I was wondering if you can show me any biblical reference where our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, or Yahshua Messiah changed the Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday.
Yes. Yes, we can. Be glad to.
Sure. Appreciate your call. Listen.
All right. He said he can't.
And
yeah, we can. Hope you'll listen.
Remember now, we're under a new law. And so now we simply go by the law of the New Testament. And the question is this. What does the New Testament, this new law, this new doctrine, this new teaching, say about when we are to worship God? And there are simple passages of Scripture that show us. We don't have to guess at this. We know in the first century church when they worshiped God. You have passages like in Acts chapter 20 and at verse 7, where Paul is talking about, in this context, it's talking about the Lord's Supper, but listen to it. It says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread." Notice that. When did they come together to break bread, to partake of the Lord's Supper? Did they do it on the Sabbath? No, sir. They did it on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16, of course, verse 1 and 2. Paul, in dealing with the collection, that lay by in store, he told them when? Upon the first day of the week. There are two examples where we know for sure that the first century church worship gathered together on the first day of the week, not the Sabbath.
Those passages are sufficient. It shows the pattern for the assembly of the saints under the new law. But listen, I think the clincher is Colossians 2, verses 14 through 16. You want a passage that just outright says we're not under the Sabbath law today? Look at Colossians 2. In verse 14, talking about the old law, Paul said it has been set aside, nailed to the cross. Then in verse 16 he says, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regards to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath." Now you understand what Paul is saying. He's saying that that old law has been taken out of the way, set aside, nailed to the cross. Well, I wonder what that included. Paul tells us what that included. Verse 16, because that law has been taken out of the way, set aside, nailed to the cross. Paul said, no one is to pass judgment on you. That is to condemn you for not keeping certain dietary restrictions or the new moon or the Sabbath. So you called. We appreciate that. We want people to challenge us. Again, truth does not fear investigation. It welcomes it. You issued a challenge. Show me where we're not under the Sabbath. Well, Don did a great job showing what the pattern is for the new. But friend, you can't miss Colossians 2. That law has been set aside, and he specifically says, this law that has been set aside includes the Sabbath. Now the question is, will you have a sincere heart and change?
That's exactly right. And a few more things. I'll give you another passage that you just have to see and know. But let me say this before I look at the passage. If you happen to have your Bible at home and following along, Romans chapter 7 is where we're going to go. But, you know, a caller called earlier, Aaron, and talked about the penalty. If you believe that we're under the Sabbath, where in the world are you going to go to find the penalty for violating that law? You won't find it in the New Testament, that's for sure. But look at Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, Paul's whole point is that we need to separate ourselves from the law of Moses. In Romans chapter 6, he said you have to separate yourself from sin. In Romans 7, we have to separate ourselves from the law. Why? Because it demands perfection. And he says in this context that we have died to that old law. Verse 4, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also have become dead to the law by the body of Christ." Now listen, what law is he talking about? And did the Ten Commandments, were they included in the law that Paul was talking about? Yes, because at verse 7, he says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. What law was it? For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shall not covet. Now, where do you find that in the Old Testament? It's a part of the Ten Commandments, isn't it? That's what Paul said, that we have died to, that old law. Hello, you're on More Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
Yes. Glad to get in before you went off the air. I know I talk a lot about the law, and I'll talk about my further my education, continuing education in the scriptures. But I just must make it clear, you're really going into dangerous waters when you talk about the fourth commandment. That's a commandment. That's not a law. The Sabbath, and if you study it more clearly, you'll understand the difference between the law and commandment.
Hey, now, can I ask you a question?
Do you keep
the Sabbath today?
I have a question.
Do you keep the Sabbath today?
I do keep that day holy. Yes, I do.
All right, so when's the last time? Hold on. When's
the
last time you offered a burnt offering? Because that was part of the Sabbath command.
That's going against the laws of the land, Aaron. You can't.
So the laws of the land trump the laws of God? So the laws of the land trump the laws of God?
You have to understand, Aaron, he did not say to make a sacrifice on that particular day. You must go back to Exodus and read what the Sabbath really says, and then go on and you make your establishment from there. But that's a commandment, not a law. Now, you have to understand that, I know that you talk on a lot of topics, and a lot of those topics I don't agree with, and some I do. That's why I believe that this scripture holds true, and it's from the book of Titus. It says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. I noticed that your show is a lot of controversy, you create a lot of strife. And
we're running out of time, so we appreciate that commentary on our program, but we got to go. We just have 5 minutes left.
All right.
Concerning education, one last thing.
Let him go.
You have to remember.
Listen, and listen, we do appreciate you listening, and we appreciate the fact that you have a difference of opinion with us, but these things, make no mistake about it. What we're discussing here, what law we're under, if you consider that to fall into the category of foolish questions, then you're in all kinds of trouble. We have to know what law we're under. And the good caller there, Aaron, he tried to make a distinction when there is none. A distinction between law and the commandments. There is no such distinction in the Word of God. And we just showed you from Romans chapter 7 that the law that was taken out of the way was indeed the Ten Commandments, a part of where you go to find that fourth commandment. And so that's what we've died to. And Romans 7 is just as clear on that as it can possibly be.
Well, and this is amazing to me. I hope people understand what he said. He says that we have to keep the Sabbath. That's part of God's commands. And I said, all right, do you keep the Sabbath? He said, yes, I keep the Sabbath holy. I asked him, when's the last time you offered a burnt offering? Because according to Numbers 28, verses 9 and 10, part of keeping the Sabbath included offering burnt offerings. He says, well, we can't do that because of the law of the land. What is he saying? He's saying that the laws of the land trump the laws of God. That he does not keep the law of God to the full extent because of our civil laws. Surely everybody else listening sees the absurdity in that. The truth is, nobody today even keeps the Sabbath. They may think they do, but they don't. If so, all right, tell me. When's the last time you offered your burnt offering? And do you believe that those who violate the Sabbath should be put to death?
Yeah, and you can't just pick that fourth command out of the Ten Commandments. If you're going to try to keep a part of the law, you're bound to keep all of the law. That's Galatians chapter 5. Paul clearly said that. He talked about circumcision there. If you're going to try to bind circumcision, then you're duty-bound to keep the whole law. So you're still putting yourself under a law that demands absolute perfection. And so, listen, we don't mean this program to be controversial. If you don't want it to be controversial All you have to do is agree with it. Not just joke. Yeah. But we don't mind at all if you disagree and call up. But we're going to give you book, chapter, and verse. And if it goes against something that you have held for a long time and believed, you're just going to have to look at what the scriptures clearly say. I think our listening audience can see some of these arguments against the law of Moses being taken out of the way just don't hold water. The law has been taken out of the way. We're not in dangerous territory. We're standing with God on this. It was His idea. As we talked about earlier in the book of Jeremiah, He said that the law was temporary. It was going to be replaced by a new covenant, and it has. And that's all that we're saying. Well, we're about out of time. Let's get one more call in very quickly. Hello, you're on More Bible Talk. Will you speak up, please?
Yes, hi. If you read Exodus 31:13 through 18, Jesus, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep. It is a sign between me and you throughout all your generations, all your generations. And the annual Sabbath, there's two types of Sabbath. There's a weekly Sabbath, and there's the annual Sabbath. There was a Sabbath before the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Wheat, and Passover.
Hey, who is he writing to there?
Excuse me?
And there in Exodus 31, who was he specifically writing to about the Sabbath?
The children of Israel.
My point
exactly.
Exactly
right. Exactly right. That's
the
point.
The children of Israel.
All right, we're going to have to go.
Parents, had parents. Who had parents?
All right. All right, we're out of time. We're out of time. I'm sorry, but it's 3 o'clock, and we got to wrap this up. But the point is well made. The Sabbath was for the children of Israel. It was given to the Jews and the Jews only. We may have to pick that up at a later time, but we're out of time. We're so grateful that you've listened, and we've had a lot of calls. Appreciate that. Appreciate Aaron being with us, and we appreciate all that he does for us and for the Lord. But now we're out of time, so we hope that you tune in tomorrow for Bible Talk at 2 o'clock. We pray that you have a blessed day.
You have been listening to More Bible Talk with Don Wright. Be sure and listen Tuesdays and Thursdays for More Bible Talk, brought to you by the West End Church of Christ at 4401 West Broadway. Mix 1240 Love, WLLV, Louisville, New Albany, a Golden Door broadcasting station.